Okay, first off, an addendum regarding Perakeh that we didn't mention last time, which relates to the end of Eliphaz's words of encouragement to Eov. Let's take a look at Perakeh, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says, "Bishot lashon techaveh velo tira mishot ki yavo." A person who has a relationship with God, isn't afraid of the things that are going to happen because he knows that God is there to redeem him. This theme of lack of fear continues in Pasuk Chaf Bet as well. L'shoru l'chafan tischak u'mechayat ha'aretz al tira. He's not afraid of wild animals attacking him. And basically, Eliphaz here is responding to Eov's claim that part of his difficulty is not only what he's suffering now, but the fear that emanated from the knowledge that suffering could be around the corner. Remember we saw in the end of Perek Gimel, Eov expressed his frustration about how Perek Gimel Pasuk Chav Dalet Ki lefnei lachmi anchati tavo v'yitru kamayim shagotai ki fachad pachadati v'yetayeni v'asher yagorti yavoli. I was afraid of things and they ended up realizing themselves. My fears came to me. They ended up becoming reality. Eliphaz's response is someone who really has a relationship with God, who's close with God, has no reason to fear. Much like David HaMelech's very famous pasuk, Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet lo irara ki ata imadi. Or looking at the sheet, Tehillim Perikuf Yud Bet, David HaMelech there says more at length, Mishmua ra lo ira, nachon libo batach b'Hashem. Someone of steady heart relies on God, and therefore he's not afraid of things that could be coming. Samuch libo lo yira ad asher yirev itzarav. Again, the lack of fear that someone who has bitachon is able to live with. Chazal darshan this pasuk in Tehillim Perikuf Yud Bet. Gemara tells a story in Berachot Af Samach Amad Aleph, the second source here. It says, Ma'aseh bihilel azaken. Shaya baba derech v'shama kol tzivacha ba'ir. Hillel was walking on the way and he heard a cry in the city. Amar muftach ani shein ze betoch beiti. He said, I'm confident this wasn't inside my house. He's not afraid of the eventualities of what could be happening, what's not happening. And Gemara goes on to talk there about how different Tanoim, Amaroyim, said to people who were afraid of things without basis, you're a sinner. Pachtu v'tzion chatoim. Right, it's wrong. Yehuda Bar Natan tells the last part of the Gemara, tells the story about the fact that he was walking after Rav Hamnuna, and he was sighing, and he was talking about his suffering, the fears he has in his life. Rav Hamnuna said to him, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for Yisurim. Dichtiv, the Pasuk of Eov, ki pachad pachadati v'yetayeni v'asher yagorti yavoli. When people fear, it becomes self-fulfilling. It's indicative of the fact that they don't rely on God, and then they're punished for that. So, reliance on God should express itself in a confidence that the lack thereof shows a lack of reliance and therefore brings a punishment for that. And that's Eliphaz's point. You should be turning to God out of confidence, which he'll reward you for, as opposed to reinforcing your fears that end up realizing themselves. Okay, so that's just an addendum to what we said last time. We saw in Perek Dalet, and a little bit in Perek A, the beginning words of encouragement, the end words of encouragement, the discussion about the philosophy of bad comes from what we do within the world. We saw that in Perek Dalid, Psukim Zayin through Yud Aleph, Zayin through Yud Aleph. And then in Perek Hey, again, we saw it from Pasuk Gimel through Pasuk Zayin. The part we didn't discuss yet is the very end of Perek Dalet, the very beginning of Perek Hay. And it begins in Pasuk Yud Bet, where Eliphaz described having had a vision. He says, Ve'elai davar yigunav. Something was snuck to me. Vatikach ozni shemetz menu. And it grabbed my ear. Interestingly, he describes at length how he was so blown away by this vision. He was intimidated. It totally took him over. He says here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "B'si'ifim mechezionot laila binfolta demal anashim." In my deep sleep, pachad kra'ani. I was called out in fear, ureada, and trembling. Verovatz motai efchid. My bones were shaking. Veruach al panai achlof. Some kind of spirit flashed in front of my face. Tisamer sarap sari. My hair stood on end. Ya'amod velo akir mereu tmuna leneged einai. I had some kind of vision in front of my eyes. Tmuna. Dmama, silence for kol hashma, and hearing a voice. Now, whether Pasuk Yudzayin and on is what the voice said, or what Eliphaz learned from the vision and voice isn't clear. But what's most interesting is that he does not tell us whatsoever what he saw. What did he see? He talks about words, maybe the voice he heard or what he reached, the conclusion he reached based on the voice, but he doesn't say what he saw. And we'll try and speculate possibilities of what he might have seen. But in any case, let's first read about the conclusion that he reaches. He says here, Pasuk Yudzayin, Ha'enosh me'eloa yitztak. Im me'oseu yitar gaver. Could man be more righteous than his God? Could a person be more pure than his Maker? Hein ba'avadav lo yaminu v'malachav yasim ta'ala. God, right, relates from above, even to his angels, for sure, his avadim. Af shochnei v'techamer asher v'afer yesodam. Yidakum lefneash, those residing in homes of clay, in the dirt, our roots are in the dirt, we come from the dirt. How can we see ourselves so high relative to our Maker? Yibokel erev yukatu mibli misim lenetzach yovedu, we're lost for eternity, we live short lives. Halonisayit rambam yamutu velo bechokhma. Krana, hayesh avonecha, call out. Do you have sins? Velmi mikdoshim tifne, who will you turn of the holy ones? The fool is killed through his own anger and frustration and jealousy. He's contrasting man with God. And I think the reason he's contrasting man with God is because essentially his machlokas with Eov is right about that. Eov is saying, look, I'm looking at God's world and I see all this terrible stuff. God, you know, God isn't this good guy. And Eliphaz's response is, God is wonderful. Man has a lot of problems that he creates in the world. And that's really what he's reinforcing here through his vision, which again we haven't yet understood what the vision was, but God is pure and the Maker and the Creator and above and holy, and man lives in these clay homes and is full of jealousy and pettiness, and we're going to say that we understand good and we bring the good while God brings the bad. Who are we kidding? The question, though, is what is the vision? The Rambam, in his Mor Nevuchim, continuation of the discussion we saw last time, from Chelek Gimel Perek Chof Yud Bet, now we're looking at Chelek Gimel Perek Chof Bet. The Rambam has a very interesting diuk that he brings to support the claim he makes against El Arazi, which, again, is, I'm suggesting, the claim that Eliphaz is making against Eov, that man is responsible for his own suffering. The Rambam highlights the way the Satan is introduced in the first Prakim when he arrives together with the other angels. Let's go back to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Vav. It says, Vayihi ayom, vayavo b'nei ha'elokim lehitietzev al Hashem. The angels come to stand before God. Vayavo gam ha'satan b'tocham. And the Satan comes too. The Satan comes too. Perek Bet, it's even more pronounced. Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi Ayom, Vayavo Bnei Elokim Litayetzev Al Hashem, Vayavo Gam Hasatan B'Tocham Litayetzev Al Hashem. He has his own stepping in moment. Why is he presented distinctly from the other angels? The other interesting thing here is the Satan's response to God's question of, hey Satan, where have you been? And again, the fact that God asks the question only highlights the answer all the more. Satan answers both the first time and the second time, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomar Shem ala Satan, Me'ayin Tavo, Vayan ha-Satan et Hashem, Vayomar, Mishut Baret u'miyat alechba. From flying around and walking around the world. Later in Perek Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Bet, Vayomar Hashem ala Satan, Emi zet Tavo, where have you come from? Vayan ha-Satan et Hashem, Vayomar, Mishut Baret u'miyat alechba. Again, from flying around and walking around the world. What does that mean? Rambam explains that this signifies the fact that in contrast to the other angels, the Satan's mandate does not come directly from God's will. Okay, obviously, God allows for punishment. God allows for suffering. But it's really the actions of the earth's inhabitants that empower him. He doesn't come together with the other angels. And where does he come from? Where does his strength come from? What's he generated by? So if we use the words of Chazal, when a person sins, he creates bad malachim, right? We empower, again, God has to allow malachim to do that, but we empower this punishing angel. The Rambam elaborates in the second part of the piece that this is assumably what Chazal meant. Rish Lakish, Gemara in Baba Batra, the last source here, Daf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, Rish Lakish says, Hu Satan, Hu Yetzer Hara, Hu Malach HaMavet. The Satan, the Yetzer Hara, and the Malach HaMavet are all really one. What does it mean? They're highlighting the fact that the Satan and the Malach HaMavet ultimately that brings death, who are generally perceived as divinely inspired. God sends the Malach HaMavet to take you. God sends the Satan to entice you, to punish you. They're actually connected to the Yetzer Hara. They're empowered by the actions, the decisions made by people because of their Yetzer Hara. Again, before you get to which direction drives which, the linkage of Yetzer Hara, Satan and Malach HaMavet is basically saying death exists because of bad decisions. Now, what empowers what is the question we're beginning to discuss and going to discuss much more. But what the Rambam says and what Eliphaz is saying is it all starts with us and what we generate. Now, what's interesting, and let's take a look here inside the Moron of Uchim. The Rambam starts off, he says, see what it says about the B'nai Elohim. It says, L'tyatzev al Hashem, by the Satan, even though he comes with them, right? It mentions him separately, and it says, L'tyatzev separately the second time. And the third line, it says, V'havein ze'ayan, understand it, V'stakel ma'mod lefna, see how amazing it is. And then he says something very mysterious. U're'e eich alu biyadi, or biyadai, elu ha'inyanim kidmut chazon. See how I understood these things like a vision. Kapach, in his commentary on the Moron of Uchim, he writes, the Rambam doesn't speak this way, you know, visions, etc. He just means it, he's not showing off, he just means it that he, like the Rambam writes, a Chacham is like a Navi, and the way he envisioned it and the way he understood it. But I don't know, you read it, it doesn't sound like the Rambam is just talking about, he's talking about a vision. Did the Rambam feel he had a vision for this? Well, we already saw that somebody else we were learning here describes having had a vision. And that is Eliphaz, who doesn't describe his vision. Maybe the Rambam meant to imply that Eliphaz, I don't know, the Rambam, but at least Eliphaz, saw a vision that connects to this theme of the relationship between man's actions and suffering and the way God interacts. And in fact, maybe hard, I think, to explain the safer without the following suggestion. Maybe the vision that Eliphaz saw is the backdrop that's presented in the beginning of the book. And what's interesting is throughout the Sefer, different speakers refer to this vision. Maybe they all had the vision. And again, it's presented in a very anthropomorphic way of God bringing together the ministering angels and the Satan coming with them, and God saying, hey, isn't Eov great? And the Satan saying, he's not so great. Let's see what happens when he suffers. Let's see how he reacts to that. And maybe they all saw this vision. Maybe that's the vision that Eliphaz saw. Maybe that the Rambam saw, right? Maybe they all saw this vision, and the question is how to interpret it. How do you interpret the fact that there's a Satan who's looking for people to suffer and looking for justifications to cause them suffering? And looking for the negative and seeing the negative in them. How do you explain the fact that God gives room to the Satan? Well, Eov's explanation would be God is vindictive and mean. Eliphaz's explanation, whether he saw the vision or not, the Rambam's explanation, whether he saw the vision or not, is the Satan comes from somewhere. Mishut ba'aretz u'mihitalechba. He comes from the presence in the land that he's empowered by. It could be that for this reason, Eliphaz emphasized not what he had seen, but his impressions of it. The stress of how he's overwhelmed by the vision, you know, as a way of conveying, you know, the qualitative gap between God and man. You know, man who's unable to even begin to conceive of God's true nature. How can man think of judging God? As he said, Ha'enosh me'eloah yitzdak. We saw Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Can man be more righteous than God? Can man truly begin to understand it? Man is simple, fragile existence, as we saw. He has to be careful not to let his pride, his anger, cause him to reach these heretical conclusions on issues that are beyond his comprehension. As we saw here, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yutet, Af Shochnei, Vatei Chomer Asher Be'afar Yesodam Yidakum Lefnei Ash, living in these low clay houses, moving around in his meaningless from day to day. Pasuk Chavalef, Halo Nisa Yitram Bam Yamutu V'lo B'chochma, we die without wisdom. Perikei Pasuk Bet, Ki Le'avil Yarag Kas Ufote Tamit Kina, the anger, the frustration, the jealousy that cause us to look at things non-objectively. Instead, man should recognize that the suffering emanates from his own mistakes, as we saw, Perikei, Pesukim Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, and should work on correcting them, should work on turning to God in the hope of receiving God's aid, as we saw the words of encouragement at the end. But the turning point is the recognition of this gap between man and God, which helps man understand what he's perceiving in the world, what he's seeing in his vision, maybe, of the Satan and the Satan's role. Clearly, there is suffering. Clearly, sometimes it seems that things are stacked against us. Do we realize the degree to which that happens because of the choices we make? Or does our pettiness, anger, jealousy, frustration cause us to look for something, someone else to blame, in Eov's case, God, for his suffering? And the question is not what the vision was, the question is how to interpret the vision, which is why Eliphaz focuses on that, on how the vision impacted him and the lessons he learned, as opposed to depicting exactly what color, you know, kapata the Sutton was wearing. Okay, next time we'll see the speech of Eov in response to Eliphaz, and he definitely has what to say. And part of what's interesting and you need to appreciate in the Sefer is how the responses ratchet up one in response to the other. Eov hears very well Eliphaz's implied attack of him and his righteousness. And Eov comes out swinging more than he did initially, with his quick, carefully worded, cautious cursing of his day.